This is CoolCast for October 19th, 2011. This is Jeff Lebo. Having experienced a number of audio issues, including some static that others aren't hearing, but I have a feeling it's going to be in the recording. So I'll try to be extra quiet tonight and listen in. I've been kind of out of the loop for a couple of weeks, focused on a big conference here that I was doing some webcasting with. So I haven't been tuning in to change that much or anything else. So I'm looking forward to getting up to speed. What's been going on?
Well, it sounds like you've had the most interesting. I tried to sign on Sunday, the speaker that you had at the conference, but it was a bad time for me.
Yeah, not so North American friendly. We had Stephen Krashen, who is a second language acquisition theorist rock star. We did a live interview with him. It's amazing. Korea has awesome internet speeds. The Wi-Fi at this university was not good, so I wound up using my Galaxy S as a mobile hotspot, and that was actually faster than the Wi-Fi, which is a fine thing to do. Yay, unlimited data plans in Korea. I went through about 3 gigs of data streaming.
Wow, cool.
We are drooling with envy.
So what's been going on with the CMC and change and whatever else?
Well, CMC is rolling right along. We're now moving into the creativity portion of the MOOC. And there's sort of a slightly different mental shift, and that's good. That's kind of fun. So yeah, it's great. I'm having a ball. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm having a great time. Jim has finally decided not to be a perfectionist and just jump right in and do stuff. And I think that's one of the problems with the MOOCs, is that people feel that there's a competition out there, and they sometimes hesitate to get involved as a result because that's their personality. So I think it's incumbent upon us to let people know, just jump in and do something.
Is that a fair accusation, Jim? Are you guilty of being a perfectionist or a recovering perfectionist?
I say a perfectionist is never perfect, just never satisfied.
Sorry to use you an example, Jim, but you were there. And that's so okay. You know, it's not behind your back.
I appreciated it. I'm taking another online course for credit on teaching and learning at the distance, so it really dovetails nicely with my semi-lurking in both the change in the CMC MOOC, and it just was illustrated to me very powerfully how, I think Carol and I contacted through Skype the other evening, and then had a hangout for probably the better part of an hour. And it was the thing that sort of spurred me on to, hey, let's go and just do something. Let's just go and get that blog written. It doesn't have to be perfect. And it brought home to me very powerfully how much some personal contact means.
And Jim, I don't think we've met you before. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do, where you do it, other stuff?
I'm up in the Northwest Territories of Canada, about 100 miles from the capital, Yellowknife, about 1,000 kilometers north of Edmonton. We're a fly-in community, and I teach upgrading classes to adults who are wanting to come back to school who didn't have a very pleasant experience or successful experience the first time around. So it's upgrading at a fairly low literacy level, and I have the freedom to do all kinds of interesting things.
And how much of a professional development community do you have on the ground there, and how nice is it to be able to connect to the world?
Well, my college offers a certificate in adult education, so I've been doing that for the last 3 years. This is my fourth year of teaching. I made a midlife career change. And don't have a background in education, but so they offer the certificate in adult education. I've done all but two of those courses by distance ed. There were two that I went in for a two-week spring intensive spring course. They're 45-hour courses, So my professional development community is very much the MOOCs.
Speaking of which, what's been going on with change? My only observation of change is that I feel the newsletter is suffering from Twitter pollution. I look at the newsletter now and it's all like retweets, and I find it much harder to find. I kind of give up after the first page scroll or two.
Some of them look like they're posts of combined tweets too, like there's 7 or 8 tweets in the post, and I don't know whether that's because people are pulling Twitter into their blog and then the blog is getting fed forward, because otherwise why would there be a whole bunch of them? But it makes it very difficult to skim, for sure.
Well, I participated. What do you do online? You don't go to it, I guess. The one on Sunday, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Tony Bates. And I feel like, what is this, the 4th or 5th one? I feel like people are jumping in, participating more with the question and answering. They're using Illuminate now, which it's pretty seamless. They haven't had the problems they had when they first started trying other platforms. So it seems like people are participating more in the actual discussion. I am like Jim in that I'm taking other courses, and I can't really blog or participate in the MOOC outside of the actual sessions at this point in time, maybe later. But they talked about MOOC. I don't know, did anyone hear the recording or attend the one on Sunday?
The end of it was.
Excuse me?
I got to the one on Sunday. I saw the name Tony Bates and thought I was going to see the 2-minute Moodle video guy. And then when I went to Tony Bates' website, I said, wait a minute, what is this? I realized I was getting the name mixed up with Thomas Lasick.
Oh, well, I was not familiar with Tony Bates because I'm really not an IT person and I'm not affiliated with university, but he's done some nice research, and it really brought home for me and crystallized why there's so much chaos and so many problems about the integration of technology and online learning. But at the end, they all talked about using MOOC and how it was going, and it's clear they're still trying to figure out how to streamline the participation and I think they just started using Twitter, showing Twitter in the newsletter, but I haven't even had time to read the newsletters. I appreciate the newsletters. I'm able to see when it's online and when I can join, and beyond that I haven't been able to spend time.
I certainly don't get time to read the newsletter every day, but I've sort of been just jumping to a blog here and there, and the Twitter stuff I pretty much ignore.
Yeah, the MOOCs are very time intensive, and since I'm in the process of sort of running one, I do depend upon the newsletter, and I pick up little pieces of the blogs. I do pick up on some of the tweets. And I have to say that I have found that the use of Twitter is sometimes difficult and sometimes easy. It seems to be increasing. It doesn't mean that the blog participation has necessarily fallen off, but it does mean that the Twitter aspect has increased. And in some ways, I think it's sort of almost a shorthand for Facebook. I don't know how anybody else feels about that, because I'm still in the process of collecting the statistics and seeing what the trends are.
Well, personally, I'll go to Twitter and use Twitter before I'll go to a blog or Facebook, but it does get repetitious, and I think studies have shown that, you know, people only go back and read an hour's worth of Twitters or something like that, and then so it quickly becomes history. And I hadn't been seeing any tweets, even though I'm following Change 11, and then the newsletter comes and there's all these tweets that I don't recall seeing, so it's really a matter of whether you catch it or not, is my opinion. I'll do like they do on the news and say, Jeff, when I'm finished, instead of over and out.
I just want to let people who are listening to the stream know that the video, I'm all messed up tonight. I take a week off and I just forget how to stream. The stream's going to stop briefly. And sorry, my volume levels are messed up too. The stream's going to stop for just a few seconds and then kick in again, and maybe you'll actually see video of people who are talking. And Nelly, I'm curious to hear what you've been up to. It's been a long time since we've connected. Ah.
Hi, Jeff, and everybody. Sorry, my voice. Yeah, I was at a great streaming, I think it was yesterday, but, you know, my time's kind of mixed up because, you know, I sleep during the day sometimes and I'm awake at night, so I go to different time zones. I think it was yesterday. It was really great from British Columbia. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the OER. I think Carol is, definitely. And Wayne McIntosh, who they managed to get him to BC, to Vancouver again, at a British Columbia university, I forget what it's called, and they had an incredible discussion there. I can't get the link. Oh, we see image events. Good. We can't see the real thing, at least we get a... that's good, Vance. Anyone else hear about it, the OER versity idea? Carol, do you want to...
John Graves had mentioned that. It's like a number of universities that are collaborating on it?
Yeah, but they had a meeting. They had a streaming. It was absolutely fantastic. It was at a university in British Columbia, and we could participate through different ways. Through Twitter, for example, we did. I was tweeting like crazy. If anyone's, you know, connected to me, you probably saw a lot of tweets. I think the hash was, let me get it, it was open change 11, I believe, open change 11. And I was getting responses right away from someone who was, you know, at a laptop at the conference, the face-to-face conference. So, you know, we're really, really engaged. Plus, they had an Etherpad at some point. I think the last session was with an Etherpad. They had clickers, and we were able to also participate with the others. And it was really engaging. I've never been to such, you know, a face-to-face conference where I felt so much part of it. So that's something that I was very excited about. I think it was yesterday.
What interface were they using? Illuminate or?
That good question. No, no. It was completely, you know, it was just live streaming. It was face-to-face. No Illuminate, no nothing. And I really enjoyed that. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Carol. I'll mute.
Were they using Adobe Connect? Because I know at some point we've used Adobe Connect with the OERU group.
I'm dying to ask them, and I will ask them, you know. I'll try to get hold of some of the people. Paul Stacey gave an excellent presentation where he involved the audience with the clickers. Really exciting. Athabasca, what's his name? Rory, is it? Mm-hmm. Carol, you know these guys.
Yeah. Rory McReel.
He was doing an awesome, I mean, like, the talk, the discussions, you know, like the panel discussion that they had with Wayne. Wayne gave a lot of information, but Rory was doing, like, he was incredible. And who else was there? Paul Scott, maybe. And they had universities at the face-to-face conference or debate, you know, panel, whatever they called it there. They had lots of universities from British Columbia, so it was like a really nice face-to-face, no Illuminate, no Adobe Connect, nothing. It was just Noah's IQ. There was nothing there. It was just, you know, face-to-face, and they involved us with, I guess, HTML5.
Mm.
Interesting. Now, was this under OERU, Nelly, or was this out of British Columbia and just incorporating OERU?
Yes, exactly. It was out of British Columbia. It was at one of the universities. I think it was just BC. I think there's university, maybe someone can correct me, BC University. I asked if they were going to record it because I said this is something that I want to pass around because it was just, you know, such an awesome get-together, face-to-face and online. But they said that they would only be recording parts of it, not the whole thing. The whole thing was like a whole day. Okay, so I was on and off. You know, they had their lunch, and I would go off and have my lunch. So it was the first time that I was really involved in something like this, and I really liked it.
Was it Thompson Rivers University?
No, Thompson brought, Thompson Rivers brought, you know, Wayne McIntosh, but they weren't there, which is interesting. You know, Athabasca was there, they had representatives, other universities from BC were there, but no, you know, Norm wasn't there, and nobody else from Thompson Rivers. I think they had something else at Thompson River, maybe today. Maybe they've got something there today going on.
They do.
But
and
Thompson Rivers, you're right, Jeff. Thompson, sorry for interrupting, but I just remember Thompson Rivers has done this before, and I was involved. I was actually, I think I was one of the speakers. I was giving a workshop, actually, a four-hour workshop that was also streamlined. So, yeah, it is something that I think Thompson Rivers is doing a lot of, yes, definitely.
I think this is a week-long conference, and it's on my schedule, but I haven't. It's not Nelly. I think each day there's a different. No, okay, cancel that.
Yeah, that could be. It could be a week thing, but I think this particular one was just at the BC University. And you're right. Could be that there is one at Thompson Rivers. Thompson Rivers doesn't tend to. Even though, you know what, Norm did send me something. I'll go get it.
Well, there is Open Access Week next week, and Athabasca University has a noon hour session running all week long as part of Open Access Week. I'm not sure if that's what you were referring to.
That's exactly what I was referring to, Jim. Thank you.
I think that runs the 24th to the 30th.
Right.
No. I didn't refer to that. Yeah, I got that too. No, it wasn't the Open Access. It's something else. I mean, they might overlap, but no, that wasn't it. But it was for the OER university participants, the ones that are already involved, and actually it was to recruit others from the BC area.
Cool, Vance. I'm curious to find out what you're really working on now, since we only see your picture. Are you still there?
Apparently not.
I have one quick thing I'm going to paste in the window. I know Vance will be interested in this. It's actually starting in 30 minutes. That's why I'm... this... I found this via... second. Hold on just a second. I've got to get my... Okay. Clay Smirky is presenting today at 11, and then someone later today.
Did you say Smirky or Shirky?
Shirky. What did I say? Smirky?
Maybe I just heard Smirky. Yep. I don't know.
I did say Smirky. I think that's what I've been thinking. I love him, but I've been thinking Smirky. Today in 30 minutes, and then something later today. I don't know what it'll be in your time zone. But anyway, I wonder. Sorry.
That looks good. So, thanks, Kate.
Yes. Okay, go ahead, Vance. Sorry. When I took Vance's course, we had a discussion about Clay. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he is great. You come back to me in a minute. I've got to run outside because my family just appeared and I need to get something out of the car. So I'll be back in a second. Bye for now.
And while we're waiting,
anyways, I found it by Vance. Oh. which reminds me, just yesterday, I mean, the day before, actually, one of my dogs died, and I was in the middle of a conversation with Alexander Hayes from Australia, and you know, I wrote in the chat, I said, my son just came in and we have to take the dog to the vet because either we're going to have to put him out or he's going to be dying soon, so I got to go, I'll be back, you know. And it's like, you know, you think about it, he says, put the dog out, like, what do you mean? You know, so there's also this culture thing that, what does it mean, what do you say in Australia when you put a dog out, you know? It must have other terms. Anyways, here's the OpenBC. It's called OpenBC Campus. So I guess there's something called OpenBC. Yeah, there it is. So I put the link up. Hopefully, maybe you'll be able to get something there.
Lisa, what have you been up to?
Well, we are in week 7 of the course, the Program for Online Teaching Certificate class. And I did some statistics, and we've got, out of the 90 people who were originally engaged in the course, we've got 50 of them extremely active and pretty much caught up. And then we've got about 7 of them who are just mentors and don't post themselves on the weekly task. They help others, and that was the role that they chose. And then we've got about maybe 10 people who are kind of in the danger zone where they started the course and then have kind of slacked off, and so the mentors are contacting them to see if they want to continue. And about a dozen have either dropped out or say they need to slow down and stop going for the certificate and just participate now and again, which we've tried to make clear all along is that's great, that's fine, that's wonderful. Do what you can, do what you want. You don't have to go for the certificate. Nobody's going to think less of you because you do that. So I think that's pretty darn good for week 7. I'm really pleased with that. This week we're focusing on community and building community, but we made a choice a couple weeks ago to not have a forum, to not have a separate forum where participants talk about topics there, because we decided we really wanted to keep things in the blogs. So as part of the assignment for this week, people were supposed to go to several other people's blogs and see how they could formulate community through commenting. And I'm nervous about this. I'm not sure it's a really good way. I wish there was a third option, you know, in between posting on people's blogs, posting comments on people's blogs, and a forum. Those two things seem kind of far apart to me, and I don't know how well this is going to go as a community building kind of thing. Especially because our people in China are having firewall problems and are unable to comment on any of the edu blogs. Their edu blogs is blocked in China. We have participants in Shanghai and they can't get edu blogs at all. The whole site is blocked. Now we have one of our mentors put together a Google Reader bundle, and so the China participants are able to read the posts through the Google Reader bundle, and now we just had a participant put up a Symbaloo page that where people can read the posts easily from China, but they can't comment. So that's making the community thing kind of challenging as well. So that's what's happening this week at the POT Certificate Club.
Firstly, congrats on that retention rate. That's phenomenal by MOOC standards. Secondly, I have not heard of Symbaloo. I think I just got the link for that. I'll have to check that out.
I can actually put a link in the chat for the page that this participant made too, if I can find it here.
What's so great about Symbaloo?
It takes
it's
all
available
your pieces
for the Chinese.
Yeah, and the Chinese can get to it because I don't. It's such a small thing that nobody's that aware of it. I don't know if you're aware of the video that went, well, kind of viral, I guess, of the seventh grader putting together her personal learning network. But that was based on Symbaloo, and that was the first place I heard of it. So let me find that link.
Yeah, I actually got that link from the tech support fellow that I've been using, who is in China. Otherwise, I would not know the things that are blocked in China.
I'm curious, A, if people have any thoughts on what, if there is anything between forums and commenting on blogs. And I also want to follow up. Weeks ago, you were contemplating, Lisa, what to do for live gatherings. What's happened with that?
That's become a Thursday thing, and we've gone back and forth between two times to try to get all the participants. Only about half a dozen people show up. We've only managed to plan them about three out. We haven't, one of our mentors has taken that over. He's captain of our synchronous communications, and so he sets up everything in his Collaborate install. So that is still a little loose, although we're planning in 2 weeks we're going into Second Life. One of the participants really loves Second Life. We've got two or three people there who are leaders in using Second Life in their classes, and so they're going to take a group into Second Life, so we'll see how that goes. So far the synchronous stuff has been small, and the but people really like it. And
what have you been using for it?
Well, so far, Todd Conaway, who's at Yavapai Community College and has been setting up most of our synchronous stuff, has been using Collaborate for several of them. We've tried a Hangout once, and it was mostly mentors who showed up, which is great. I mean, we had a great discussion, but not too many other participants. Whereas when we use Collaborate, one time we had 17 people. The first time we used it for a synchronous session, we had 17 people. Part of it is just that they're not quite used to the rhythm. We don't yet have a rhythm with them. And I think that's part of it. And part of it is some people aren't available on Thursdays, and part of it is the time, because we're very global. We can't always catch the Dubai people and the Shanghai people at the same time, that kind of thing. And some people have trouble literally getting the technology to work. Again, China's a problem. But also there have been other places where the amount of bandwidth required for something like Collaborate is just a bit too much. So we're trying to vary it, but the planning in advance thing is just not quite there yet.
It'll be great to find out about the Second Life experiences, Lisa, because a lot of people are hesitant to use Second Life because of the bandwidth that it takes, because of the perceived learning curve, which there is a learning curve on using it. And what I'm finding is that people are opting for the easiest method of communication, not necessarily the best. So that'll be interesting to hear your report on that.
Yeah, she's going to record it somehow. I'm not sure how she does that, but this is Chris Chrisman, who uses it for her class in young adult literature.
Great.
Yeah, and so she's going to be archiving it, which will be good. But I know that Second Life is very difficult for me. I still, my avatar gets stuck in chairs and stuff and engages in all these bizarre uncontrolled behaviors that I find very uncomfortable, but everybody who hangs in Second Life all the time says, oh, well, that's just how it is. Don't worry about that stuff. It doesn't matter. And it's like, you know what, if it still matters to me, it might matter to newbies who come in and, you know, appear without their clothes on. I'm not sure the extent to which I know that you can, if you structure everything around Second Life, it can be highly successful because people get used to it and they go through that learning curve and they're cool. But if you're just trying to like pop in for one session, I have no idea how this is going to go over. But at least I've got experts in charge. That's the whole idea, right? So we'll see how it goes.
That's great. Actually, that's how I met Jim, was in Second Life. Jim Stauffer, who's on the cast today. And yeah, Empire State College has used Second Life to deliver, I believe we have two courses solely in Second Life. And Buffalo State College has also been offering courses in Second Life. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
And Vance, are
Carol,
you back?
Carol, I have a question for you. I put it in the chat box. I'm not sure whether you guys have it open on Hangouts, but the question is, have you considered using live streaming for the MOOC with Ustream? And if not, why not?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, what was the question again? I was looking for your comment, but I'm looking
sorry.
In the live stream
comment. I was just reading it. Yeah. I'm just reading it. Someone else, I think, has their... I think it's not me. Or maybe it is me. Does someone... Oh, it is me. Sorry about that. I've got Ustream open.
This is actually live stream,
something
not
else
Ustream.
Open. No, it's me. Isn't it?
If you're getting an echo, it probably is.
No, it's not an echo. I just have something else open. But anyways, Carol, the question is, have you considered live streaming using Ustream?
And the answer is no. Not yet. I'm considering many things, but I have not tried it yet.
No, the question was why, you know, because it seems like, I think it's ideal. I don't know what others think about it. What do you think about Ustream?
Well, I'll jump in on that one, since I'm a fan. And just to clarify, what I'm streaming with now is Livestream.com, not Ustream.tv. They're very similar services. They're just different companies. And for these cool casts and different webcasts, we've certainly been using them well. One of the things that caught my attention in recent weeks, I noticed George and Steven hung out with... the DTLT crowd.
Which in Groom.
Yeah, and they use an Amazon instance of Wowza, which I have started to experiment with and don't quite have working, but would love to get that happening, because with live stream and Ustream, you get these commercial interruptions, and I would love to avoid that. I have a feeling it can be higher quality. So it's a... you know, more tech hurdles, but some nice functionality.
Well, Thompson Rivers uses a lot of live stream. I say it's livestream.com, which is exactly what you just mentioned, and they've got one going on right now, if anybody is interested. I think it's a great idea. I really see a lot of potential there, as opposed to you know, the other virtual classes like Illuminate, you know, Adobe Connect and so on, that are so costly, and these are absolutely free. So why not use them?
Because you do have the tech hurdles of, like, what I'm doing right now is getting all ends of the call. It's not that hard, but some learning has to happen, and all those old Webcast Academy challenges are a little bit easier, but not easy.
Jeff, how can it be used in the classroom? Do you need a video camera, and then that's all? Just a little small...
Yeah. Well, again, if you're just streaming out, and I'm in the classroom, and I want people to listen in, that's pretty easy. That's just click and use our webcam and our microphone. If you're having some kind of interactive experience with someone and you want to capture audio from your mic and from their mic, then you get a few technical challenges.
So for the online environment, in other words, if you want something online, then that's where the challenges may come in. But face-to-face, streaming out is no problem.
I would never say no problem to anything technical, but it's much simpler.
Well, because I've used it. I mean, I used it at Ithaca College in the summer when I was doing the math and arts conference, and I did it on my own kind of thing, you know, with the help of some others who had to hold the cameras. So I had a lot of people holding cameras, like students and anybody. You know, I said, just hold this camera. You know, got a lot of video cameras from people and just hand them out. And we managed to get, you know, streaming out of the face-to-face. But I've never tried it like this, you know, in an online environment.
I wanted to check back in with Vance. Have you returned?
Yes, I'm here. I've even heard a few questions to that effect. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, yeah, real life is so intrusive, you know? I mean, I don't know what the deal is, but, you know, people actually want me to go meet them when they, I mean, you know, first of all, it's you know, it doesn't happen when you want it. Like, virtual life does. But anyway, so I did have to just pop out for a minute. But it's the end of a long day here. It's kind of late in the evening. And actually, I've got someone asked me about the job I just got. I got a job as a teacher coordinator at a naval college where it's kind of interesting because the students and the teachers are, I think, I'm not sure if they really want to use technology or not, but they really need to do something to liven up the classes. So it's a great opportunity to kind of show people how to, you know, do more interesting things, just like with simple collaboration tools. Actually, a lot of the tools that Kate and I were using and that Lisa is using in the courses that we've been putting on lately, not Second Life, we haven't gone there, but you know, just some of the simple collaboration tools. So it's kind of fun, you know, very challenging. And to deal with real people's real attitudes about these things.
What do you mean by real attitudes, Vance? I'm curious how you define real attitudes.
What happened to my sound?
You sound fine to us.
Real attitudes. Okay, well, here, us virtual people don't... I think I was sitting on my... I couldn't hear Carol just now. But us virtual people we're so amenable to the kinds of things that we do. So when you're interacting with us, you know, we take a lot for granted. But then I'm sure in your real workplaces, you find a lot of people who don't live most of their lives online, and you know, have real lives. And actually, well, I mean, they especially if they haven't used a lot of technology, and they are used to doing things in traditional ways, they take a lot of convincing. But so anyway, it's one of those situations where I've got an opportunity to show people things and try to model. Like I set up a wiki for them, for example, and I put them in online spaces, and I made that our professional development session, which was basically they had to go to the wiki, they had to... I tried to show them that they could do that for their classes. You know, they could set up a wiki and with a link to an Etherpad space, and their students could go there, and how they could...
Carol, just a reminder that you are a powerful typer.
And then we all came into one space, as it turned out. But anyway, that kind of thing. So, and some of the real attitudes are, you find out that... Yeah, she's got a good set of fingers there. When they tried it themselves, I discovered that the idea of, say, going to a wiki, creating a wiki, and then clicking on edit in order to write on it, that kind of thing is a little bit of a problem. So just a lot that you take for granted with technology, and to be in a position to try to help teachers like that learn more about technology is kind of challenging, very challenging. A little bit.
If you can do something synchronous, we had one of our synchronous sessions in a Google Doc, which was kind of interesting. So having people be there all at the same time, figuring out, writing in the main document, here's how you click open the conversation panel, and then here's how you participate in that, and having several people all there at the same time, I think taught a real quick wiki and collaborative document lesson, if that, you know, that was pretty helpful to newbies who had no idea what that capability meant. Everybody being there at the same time helped a little bit.
Was there audio involved in that, or was it just text?
Well, I don't want to say it was just text, because a lot of us were trying to paste pictures and video clips and whatever we could cram into the Google Doc to show what you could do and what you couldn't do, and a lot of the chat was about exactly that, what else you could put in there that wasn't text. But yeah, no, we didn't have any audio at all, and it was just go to the Google Doc and see what happens, and it was fun to do.
I missed the first part of that.
Was it a blended learning?
At one time?
Sorry.
Yeah, but there were we had about 10 people in doc. People went in and out of the document. So the most that were in there were 6 or 7 at one time, but we had about a dozen people popping in and out. And no, Nellie, this isn't blended learning. This is completely online professional development run by volunteer faculty. And we were trying to set up synchronous sessions. And at first, we set each one up in kind of a different format. And now we've tried to go to a more regular format so that we can get participation from different members.
Yeah, I've done that myself, and I found
good
quite interesting.
It's that robust. Last time I tried it with more than 4 or 5 people, it kind of flagged a little bit. But since they bought EtherPad,
no, it works for a lot.
Okay, well, maybe that's.
I think EtherPad is more problematic. I mean, I used it 2 days ago. It seems that with EtherPad you can't have that many, but with Google Docs you can have over 20 at least without any issues, Vince. We might want to try it ourselves and see how it works.
That's good.
You know, what I'm finding difficult is not so much lately with my students. I mean, you know, it's hard for them, like you mentioned, fully online, but even face-to-face, I'm talking about high school students especially, you know, they don't even understand why they have to bother to leave Facebook to do anything. To learn, you know, they're fine with, you know, maybe Moodle a little bit, but even Moodle, they make faces, and they actually prefer to be on Facebook and just, you know, conduct everything there and forget about everything else. And in fact, they're even saying now, there's a new trend in my neck of the woods, that, you know, what do we need technology for teaching in the first place? You know, school should be a place where you meet to socialize. You know, even learning, school's wrong for learning, and learning should be done at home or in some other ways, but not in school. School should just be a place to get together, have discussions, you know, learn about different topics of our choices, you know, whatever we're interested in, and leave, you know, the hardcore subjects for home, and then it could be done in any way possible without technology, of course. Technology, you know, let's just have fun using Facebook and leave us alone with everything else.
I wonder if the flipping the classroom idea is feeding some of that, the idea that you're supposed to be learning at home and then coming to class to, you know, discuss, and whether that is helping feed that. Because, yeah, I sense that as well at several levels.
Did you see I circulated a YouTube?
And actually, I'm one of those people. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just circulated an article I read about a class in Maine that tried the flipping technique, doing YouTube lectures at home and then having them come in, and it was all about how it was such a failure because of, you know, there wasn't universal hardware at home and bandwidth across the country, and it's just, there's just so much, you know, uneven access and abilities that this is just a really long way to go all across the board. If you see this recording of this talk of Tony Bates from Sunday, I highly recommend it because he researched universities in Europe and in the U.S. and the integration of technology, and they have a lot of case studies, and he summarizes, and it really helped show. My local university just eliminated their entire educational technology degree, let go of the staff and the dean, and eliminated their adult continuing ed online learning department. They want to go back to being the classic Jesuit college, which is roughly $50,000 a year. Now, that's where we are.
Well, if
I'm just very disappointed in that. I'm going to say one last thing real quick, and then I'm going to scoot off, if you don't mind. I'm talking about Second Life and this conference I just posted up here. I'm going to get off and go into Second Life because the Second Life educator that I like is streaming this conference in World, and we'll watch it on a prim, but the power is we'll all be sitting there back talking and chatting about the presentation and doing it together. I could do it online, but I'm going in World just to give her support for her efforts, because doing something like that's a lot of work. So thank you, and I hope to see you all next Wednesday.
Can you let us know what that is? Who she is? What the?
Yeah, can you share with us?
That, I did that extension. I mean, you mean in Second Life?
Yes.
Okay. This is, yes, I can. Give me 2 minutes and I'll do that. But it's the extensions. You saw the National Extensions Initiative website that I gave you where the guest speakers are announced, that web page.
Okay.
Did you see that?
So it's in the chat archive?
I'll give it to you again. And that's where Clay Shirky, not Smirky, is going to be speaking. He'll be streamed in.
Can you add it to the Hangout?
No, Nellie, we need to break you of this habit.
Sorry.
We want to chat at EdTech Talk chat.
Sorry, I'll do both. But, okay, so that's going to be streamed in, and a coordinator that a lot of people know as Think a Little, her name, real life name is Luann Phillips, and she has been doing a project for an extensions department out of New York, and she's the one that there is an extensions island in Second Life, and she's the one that's coordinated that it be streamed in. And there were some nice this is the last day, and there's two. So people, anything else? Should I give you the slurl of her or her real life name or anything, or
no,
slurl being the Second Life URL? Yeah, because this is the last day, otherwise I'd try to set you up. But that's my Second Life name if anybody goes in World and wants to friend me or whatever. But I'm sure we belong to all the same groups and that sort of thing. It's funny that talk about, did Vance leave? Talk about a small group of virtual people. I have a thing about the word virtual because I think it's all real. But our small group of online people, you find out we're all, there he is, he just came back in. We all end up going in the same circles over and over again. But anyway, nice to see you all. I'm going to take off.
Good to see you. Have a good week.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you all.
And we're coming up to an hour already. Almost time to go around with any final thoughts or comments or plugs.
Oh, gosh.
I have one comment.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you for having this. I think these Wednesday Coolcast broadcasts are fantastic. And I will try to catch some of your other broadcasts as well on the live stream. It's that four-letter word, time. But thanks to everybody. This is really terrific. And Lisa, I need to get in touch with you about some things.
Anytime.
Carol, when is the next Change MOOC event?
The next Change MOOC? You know. I looked at the live broadcast. I looked at the announcement this morning, and I honestly don't know. I couldn't find it.
I don't think it's been announced yet. Yeah. This week's was earlier than usual on Sunday, They had been doing it on Wednesdays, so possibly a week from today. But you never know.
And you might also check for Friday, because I think Jim Groom and the Change 11 people were going to try to do that as a weekly deal on the Friday between the two places. And that's really kind of fun.
Yep.
Yeah, sort of a wrap-up, a discussion of what their experiences have been as facilitators.
That sounds good. All right, thank you, everybody.
I got to run.
Jim, it was a pleasure meeting you.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say, nice to see Nellie. I certainly have enjoyed her interaction in IT for All. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a great week, everybody.